We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Exodus chapter 30. We started last week, I think, over in the 31st verse. So just back up a little bit. And it says here, "And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense." We talked about the incense last week. "Upon shittim wood shall thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. 4 squares shall it be. And 2 cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof and the sides thereof round about. And the horns thereof they shall make unto it a crown of gold round about. And 2 golden rings shall thou make to it under the crown of it. By the 2 corners thereof, upon the 2 sides of it, shall thou make it. And thou shalt be 4 places for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put it before the veil, that is, by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresses the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, a perpetual incense, or I'm sorry, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offerings, neither shall you pour drink offerings thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year, with the blood of the sin offerings of atonement. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. Now, as I said, we preached on the incense last Wednesday night, and tonight we want to talk about the golden altar of incense. Now, we said last week when God gave his plan for the construction of the tabernacle, he filled the place with various articles that were absolutely rich with spiritual symbolism. And so Jesus, as I said last week, can be seen in the tabernacle in every piece of it. In other words, the brazen altar speaks of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for sinners. And the veil reminds us that there was a gulf between God and man that was done away with at the cross when Jesus died there on the cross. That veil was separate, that was torn down. And we know that the golden candlestick reminds us that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and that he came to lead men out of darkness. And so even the coverings of the tabernacle, they spoke or pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same is true here with the golden altar of incense, which the first 10 verses that I read in your hearing was about here tonight. Now, in this piece of furniture, the Lord is seen in his ministry as our great high priest. And we all know that Jesus is our great high priest tonight. And so the one who makes intercession for his people before the throne of his Father in heaven. The Bible says that Jesus is there, our great intercessor. He's making intercessions for you and I. So while the altar is filled with great symbolism concerning the Lord, there's also some very, very important lessons here for you and I as the children of God. Now in these verses here, we're shown some truths about our prayer lives and about praying in general. If you've ever been around very long, you know that I preach a lot about prayer. I put all kinds of emphasis upon having a good prayer life, about being a prayerful person. And so so here, and I want to say this right here, since it's my conviction, and I know also that it's your convictions tonight, that the Lord wants us to be more consistent in our prayer life. Do we not believe that tonight? That he wants us to be more consistent in our praying. And I feel that we would do well to look here at this golden altar of incense and what it teaches us about praying. And so let's just look at this right here and learn something about our prayer life from this ancient piece of furniture in the tabernacle. And the first thing I want you to see there in verse 1 and verse 3, I want you to see the materials of the altar. Now there was only two materials that was used in the manufacturing of the altar of incense, and they were wood and gold. Two material, and wood in the Bible speaks of humanity. Wood in the Bible speaks of humanity, and gold in the Bible speaks of deity. And so thereof is very easy to see right here that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's the only person who has ever perfectly combined humanity and deity into one body. We know that's true. The Bible said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Bible also says that the Word became flesh and came down and dwelled among us. And so we see this right here. Jesus is the God-man. However, while he was here on earth, that his glorious nature was hidden under his humanity. Only when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration did his glory burst forth. Over in Matthew chapter 17. The Bible said that on the mountain he was transfigured, and everybody said that word means metamorphosis, and a metamorphosis means something changes on the outside because of something on the inside. In other words, the glory of Jesus there on the Mount of Transfiguration, it wasn't reflected glory, but it was radiated glory. It came from within, and it said it shone like the sun. And so that's one time that his glory came forth while he was here upon the earth, that glorious nature. So while he was here, men saw the wood to speak of. Because in Isaiah 53:2, this is what it said, speaking of Jesus. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So man, we saw the wood. We saw the humanity of him while he was here upon this earth. And so but notice that this altar has the gold on the outside. The wood was overlain with gold. So on the outside, the gold, the wood was on the inside. Now this points to Jesus as he is right now. And we all know where Jesus is right now, that he's in heaven as our great high priest here. So he's enthroned in heaven at the Father's right hand. So if you would see him tonight, and if you could see him there in heaven, he would still have that glorified human body, but it would be covered by his glory. And so therefore, this altar in his materials here speaks of the person of Jesus as our heavenly intercessor. That's who Jesus is tonight. He's our heavenly intercessor. Now, while these materials here speaks about the glorified Lord, they also have an application for you and me as his children at your best. And I think I heard maybe Gail said this a while ago. At our best, we're nothing more than sinners that has been saved by grace. Is that right? At the best we could do, that's what we are. We're sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. But however, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior by faith, we are made partakers of a divine nature. What it says in 2 Peter 1:4. That is, God himself dwells in the heart of every believer and grants us access to the Father through prayer. If you're saved tonight, Jesus lives in you, in your heart, in the person of the Holy Spirit, and he grants you access to our Father, which is in heaven. So prayer is the domain of the redeemed. Now, when our humanity is covered by the divine blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are given a right to call on the Lord's name. In other words, a right which we do not possess prior to this event. You didn't have that right before you got saved. You didn't have that right. In other words, does God hear the prayers of the lost? That's a question. That's a question there that maybe you've asked. Does God? You know, a lot of times you go out on soul winning and you go in homes and talk to people and ask if they're saved. And they say no. But they'll say, I pray every night. I pray every night. Have you ever heard people say that? Does God hear the prayers of the unsaved? Not in the sense of hearing in order to answer. Therefore, no lost person can gain access to the throne of grace. An unsaved person does not have access to the throne of grace. It's only for the redeemed through our intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're not saved, you don't have the intercessor. So if you don't have the intercessor, then you don't have access to the throne. You don't have access to the Father. So only when you do this, only when your humanity becomes swallowed up in his deity, do we have access to him in prayer. So the materials of the altar was wood, which represents the humanity of Jesus, and gold, which represents the deity of Jesus. And then if you look on the manufacturer of the altar, look in verse 2. It says one cubit on a side. Now one in Bible numbers, one speaks of unity. In other words, when we become before the Lord in prayer, we are brought together. In other words, we're made one when our wills lines up with his will. And so prayer brings us into his presence, and it unites us as nothing else can do. Now, so he says it was one. Now it says squire. Now this speaks of equality. Now nobody has more access to God than you do. Is that not right? There ain't nobody, no matter who he is or what kind of ministry he's got, he has no more access to God than any of his children does. We all have equal access to him through Jesus. And so if you're saved and your sins are confessed, you have as much right to approach the Lord as anyone who has ever lived. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Therefore, let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And he said it was two cubits high. Now, we all know that a cubit is 18 inches. And a good way to do that is a cubit is from the tip of the elbow to the end of the pointer finger. You can measure that when you get home, and it'll almost be 18 inches. And so he said it was 2 cubits. And that would mean that it would be 36 inches tall. And also here, this altar of incense, it was taller than any other piece of furniture in the tabernacle. It was taller than any other piece of furniture that was in the tabernacle. Now, why is that important? This speaks of Jesus being exalted above the world. However, it also reminds us that no one stands taller than when they are engaged in prayer. And so in the church, preachers like me and others, teachers, singers, leaders or whatever, they're often get the most recognition for what goes on at the house of God. But however, if there's going to be any credit rendered for if we as preachers or teachers or singers, if we get anything accomplished, if there's any credit rendered out, I don't think it goes to us, but I think it must go to those who are actively engaged in prayer for the work of God. I know, that's probably the only reason I get up here service after service after service is because I know that we got some good people here in this church that prays constantly for me. I understand that. And so if I have ever had any success in my ministry, I know it's been because of the prayers of God's people. So when the rewards are handed out at the judgment seat of Christ, many with big names and many with big profiles, I think we'll have to step aside for those who have wrestled in prayer for the souls of men and for the kingdom of God. Don't you ever think that a prayer ministry, intercession ministry is not important. Most important as it can be. So in terms of size, the altar of incense was the smallest of all the other pieces of furniture in the tabernacle. But however, while it was small in size, it was very great in importance. The work carried on here was a vital part of the service to the Lord. So it is with prayer. You see, in praying, it isn't the eloquence of prayer. It's not the length of prayer that makes a difference. Some people, and I've heard them, and you've heard them too, some people, when they pray, they try to choose out good-sounding words, eloquent words, and sometimes they think it has to be so long and all those kind of things. But in prayer, it's not the eloquence of the words they're saying. It's not the length of the prayer that makes a difference. But it's the heart behind the praying that counts. It's the heart. In other words, when we call on the Lord out of a heart of faith, we literally possess the power, the Bible says, to move mountains. If we had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, we could say unto this mountain, be ye moved hence, and it would be moved. And so it isn't how long you pray. It isn't how loud you pray. It comes down to the content and the heart that is behind the praying. That is what is important. So when Simon Peter, you remember that? When he stepped out of the boat and walked to Jesus, he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he looked, and he saw the waves a dashing and all those kind of things, and heard the wind and all those kind of things, and he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to sink. But what happened there? While he lacked faith and began to sink, and his prayer to the Lord wasn't very long. His prayer to the Lord wasn't very elegant. His prayer to the Lord was only 3 words. And those 3 words was, Lord, save me. But those words were effective. And it accomplished what he wanted to do. He wanted the Lord to save him, and that's what he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached forth his hand and lifted him up and said, oh, thee, excuse me, of little faith. And so, I never did like to stop and take a drink of water, but I had to then. But you see what we're saying here. And a man named Jabez, I'm not going to read his prayer, but if you want to look at it, look in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. He prayed a very short prayer that God honored. And so then we want to see the symbolism in the altar. The horns. There was one golden horn on each of the four corners of the altar. Now, horns in the Bible, and I know all you Bible students know this, it's symbolic of power and strength. So horns in the Bible is symbolic of power and strength. And so this speaks of the power of prayer to go into the four corners of the world. The power of prayer that can go into the four corners of this world. From right here, where you and I are at tonight, right here in Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church, in Dream County, I want you to know that we literally can touch the world through prayer for the glory of God. Ain't that wonderful? We can go to the four corners of the earth through prayer. And we can touch. And so here, there is no limit to what we can accomplish through prayer, except those limits that we place on it ourselves. We're the one who places the limits on it through our own faithlessness, our own prayerlessness. So in ourselves, and we all understand this, and I did ourselves, we're weak, or are we not? We're weak and we're ineffective. But however, when we fall on our knees before a mighty God, we become a force to be reckoned with. Now, when the saints are on praying grounds, I think the devils of hell, I think they tremble. When we as the children of God are praying, we have power when we're praying. There's a power in a saint who's in contact with the Lord of heaven. And so there's the horns and then the crown. Now, this piece of furniture had a crown that went around the top. In other words, a lip, I guess what you might want to say. And it was there to prevent the incense from falling to the floor. What significance was that? This speaks of the fact that none of your praying is prayed in vain. In other words, it was guarded so that none of the incense would fall off to the floor and be wasted. And that reminds us that none of your praying is in vain. Now, God may not answer in your time. God may not answer when you want him to in your way. But he will hear you. And he will answer in a way that will glorify him. And he will answer in a way that is for your good. And what is best for you. None of your prayers have prayed to a righteous heart in faith will ever fall to the ground, but God will hear those. Is that wonderful? Is that encouraging tonight? To know that, if you're like me, and I don't know near enough, but if you're like me, I do a lot of praying. I feel like I need a lot of praying. I feel like I need God's help so much. And I need him to do so many things for me and for people that I know and people that I care about and people that I love. I do a lot of that. So I know and I'm persuaded that that lip or that crown around that altar reminds me that none of the incense fell off into the floor and wasted. So none of my praying is in vain. God hears it and he'll answer in his way, in his time. And then you see the rings and the staves. They were fastened to the altar so that when Israel broke camp and moved, the altar could be carried to the new location. And there they would resume the function before the Lord. Now the idea here is that the altar of prayer was ever near. This speaks of prayer to us. Prayer is as near as the breath in our lungs. Is that not right? It's as near as the breath in our lungs and the thoughts of our head. We can pray anywhere. We can pray anytime. And we can pray about anything that we want to pray about. Prayer is always acceptable to the Lord when it's praying with a heart that is righteous, or with all the sins confessed, a humble heart. It is always acceptable unto the Lord. And many are concerned about the posture in prayer. Now, I believe that God is more concerned with the posture of the heart than he is about the posture of the body. In other words, I believe that God longs for those who call on him to have a heart that is free from sin, because the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. So we need to make sure that our sins are repented of and confessed. But I believe that he wants that, and hearts that are humble in his presence. And we should, if we're able to, if our body is physically able to, and we have the strength, and we have the health and the ability that we can kneel down. We shouldn't be lazy and say we're not going to kneel and just be stubborn. But we should get on our knees. But there's times when that's not practical. When you're driving a car, I don't want you to get down on your knees when you're driving, you know. And many, many people, and some of you precious people right here tonight, your body prevents you. Your body prevents you from getting on your knees. And you can't. And I know if you could, if you had the health, you'd be tickled to death to be able to do that. So the posture of the body is not the important thing. And the whole issue is that men needs to pray, and men needs to pray consistently, and men needs to pray continually before the presence of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. So we've seen the materials of the altar. We've seen the manufacturer of the altar. Now look down at verse 6 through 10, and we see the ministry of the altar. I think I can get through this in just a few minutes. What was the placement of the altar? Where did they place it? It was to be placed against the veil of the tabernacle. Now behind the veil, unseen by human eyes, was the mercy seat. And where the blood offering were placed on the Day of Atonement. Now there was something else in that little room behind the veil, and it was called the Holies of Holies. And the Shekinah glory of God and the presence of God dwelt there, back behind the veil, in the Holy of Holies. The only access to the glory of God was through the veil. In a sense, Jesus is the veil. Now, it is through him and him alone that we have access to the riches of God through prayer.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church, or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.